Well, as you know, I wasn't here last service night. A lot of people wonder, of course, why that I wasn't here. I wonder when you're not here, you know why. I wonder why you're not here. But somehow the Lord saw fit to keep me home. And again, it was for somebody. I felt that I wasn't supposed to come, and I was going to try to come anyway. I said, Lord, unless you really press it on me, I'm going, and you let me know I'm not to be there, I won't go. But so he did, and he had somebody that he wanted me to communicate with. It was last week. And I hear him say again and again, that the 90 and 9 are saved, but we must look for the stray. And those that are in church, they're safe. They have people to talk with them and fellowship them. But sometimes someone outside doesn't have any fellowship or leadership, so the Lord is very, very much concerned. And sometimes we just can't come, and we just have to do whatever He wants us to do. Sometimes I wish there was 10,000 of me, and some folks wish there wasn't even one of me. So I wish there was enough of me to do all the things I want to do for God. And some folks feel like this one of me is in the way, but anyway, I'd love to do something for Christ. I got a lot of things in my heart I want to talk to you about, but I don't never know what to do when I come up here. I try desperately to explain to you the conditions. Today we was ministering to the brethren for quite a bit, and when we finished, they listened so good, and the Spirit of the Lord moved so wonderfully among them as to expounding. And when we finished, the Spirit was so good among the brethren that God's Spirit just fell upon them, and we begin to pray. And of course, this is, we desire, you know, to be able just to freely talk with them in the church. Try to do what we can, and I tried in those little services to explain to them. They asked me so many times of why is it outside one way and in church another way. And I tried to explain to them that you can't go all day long with your mind on natural things and be carnally minded, and then come to church, and though you're ever so reverent to the minister, to the church, whatever, you can't just switch over into a spiritual mind. You can't do it. We use a little singing to get your mind into we try to use the singing to get your mind, just to get your mind together, get your attention. But then a lot of times we get into error with that too, and we get filled up, and we're not even ready for the word. When it comes, we don't even want the word. We're filled up. We go back out into the world from just feeling good and the rain coming down on us. And then we're right back to the same old nature of doing the same old things, the same old carnal mind, the same old desires all day long until the next service. And then we come, and when we come, we're no hunger, no thirst for the word, nor for righteousness, for any of those kind of things. And then we come and we want to listen, and we listen real attentive, but there's no desire, no hunger, no thirst, no concern for the right things in life, for the God things in life, for the spiritual things in life. And then each day we go back out to the same carnality and the same carnal ambitions of life. Whereas I know that don't set well when I say these things over and over. And a lot of times it's like a dad, you know, he'll give his children. Sometimes he'll give a child a whipping over and over and over and over. And the child gets the idea, well, why do you do it over and over? And the daddy says, because you do the same meanness over and over and over. And if you don't want the whipping, then you don't do the meanness. And see, a preacher's like that. If he keeps reproving over and over and over and sinning over and over, it's because you're paying no attention to it and you're doing the same things over and over. You're not making any changes. And that don't set well. So by the time I say this, I done got off on the wrong foot already with my congregation. Doesn't matter anyway. I'm just here to exalt you a little anyway. So every now and then I stay out, or the Lord lets me stay out. And that way you can sing, or you can, somebody can preach to you, whatever you want, you know, and you could feel real good or be happy or whatever. And of course, this causes a divided congregation. I have to be careful. It's like I was exhorting them today about I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos. And I've been talking to the brethren about this because they were all divided into splinters, and trying to explain to them that a divided house can't stand. And of course, same thing here, you know. Some find out I ain't coming to church and they won't come to church. As a matter of fact, the telephone's been ringing today, and it's been asking if I was going to be in church. If I was going to be in church, if I wasn't coming to church, they wasn't coming to church. So we got a divided house there. So some wants one thing, some wants another thing, and one wants to go one way and one wants to go another way. And I never have had that, you know, since I've been at Bethlehem. I've just always had one shepherd, one flock. We had one way of doing things, and we prospered, and we've been blessed by it. Now we've got a whole bunch of ideas and a whole bunch of a lot of versatility in people's opinions and whatever, and so I just kind of back off and let them do what they want to do. It's always been my nature that I let folks do what they want to do. I want them to be a sovereignty, so if they want to go after somebody else, they can go after somebody else. Want to follow me, they can follow me. If they want to go after the singing, and go after the singing. If they want to go after the preaching, then go after the preaching. If they want to go after the world, they can go after the world. If they want to go after business, they can go after business. If they want to go after their own conceit or their own reasoning or discrepancy or fault-finding or evil surmising or whatever they want to do, I just love them to do whatever they want to do. In the meantime, I'm in diligent search of the truth. I love the truth, and I'm going after the truth, and I'm following the truth. And I can tell from the resentment coming from a congregation when I talk like this that the best thing you could do without me preaching is come to the altar and get in the altar and pray through. I can tell that just as I stand up there. And that's where the problem is. But I say again, no matter how it sets with us, that you cannot live in the world all day and come to the church at night and though you be ever so reverent and expect God to feed you or get anything from God. You won't never do that. It'll never be like that. I'll get up here, I'll exhort, I'll talk to you, say a few things to you, and that's about all that I'll be able to do. Now, others can get up here and they can preach. They can preach like I was relating to the brethren. I can get up here and holler, I can preach, I can run, I can jump. I can do that any time a preacher can do it. I remember one fellow come here one night as relating it to the brethren today. He took the mic and he started over here and he never stopped through the whole service from this post to this post. As hard as he could go, screaming as loud as he could scream. It looked like the man was so anointed that nobody in the whole land had ever got anointed like him. Straight out, right back to the old things. And went out into the world and denied him the name of the Lord Jesus. Had another one come up here preach and jumped and hollered and danced, and the altars filled up with my people, just flooded down here. Same fella really needs help from God. See, so it's the true fact that you're not watching what you're doing. You're not really listening. And like I said today, you know, it don't matter how much you come together and all of the praises and the things that you do, which is good, that's wonderful. When I was a child, I spake as a child. When I become a man, I put away childish things. The meat is for the strong, they who have by reasoning and exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. I have some that resent and find fault when I say this because they like that. They come together for that. And if they feel good, they're satisfied they've been in church. They could care less about the word. They don't want any word of God because a seed brings a conception, and a conception brings a travail, and a travail brings a withdrawal from the world that you don't fit their fancy too good and you're out of shape, and you don't have too much joy in whatever while you're going through a travail. So you don't want the seed, you don't want the conception, you don't want to bring forth Christ in your life because it calls for self-denial, it calls for giving your body a living sacrifice. It calls for going the way of Christ Jesus, and you don't want it. You don't want it, but you do want to feel good. You do want to come to the house of God. I know somebody said, well, why don't you just go on and preach? That's what I'm doing. See, from the time I get up here, I'm preaching. This ain't preaching to you because that ain't what you want, but this is preaching. Jesus just sat down and talked to him, and that was preaching. So when I come up here to talk to you, I'm preaching. From the time I get up here, I'm preaching. See, and I tell you again, you don't want that. You don't want travail. You don't want to follow Christ. You don't want to conform to the Lord. You don't want to go his way. You don't want to be like him because it's self-denial. You want to go to heaven. You want the blessings of God. You want the prosperity of God. You want me to say good things to you. But this is what the world is after. The Bible said, and they heap to themselves teachers. They find their own teachers. They find out who pleases them, who makes them feel good. And they heap to themselves teachers instead of following Christ, or he that God sendeth who will speak God's word. And so they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. They want their ears tickled. And this is the thing that's happening to little Bethlehem. It's happening around the world, everywhere. Complacency, Laodicean, lukewarm. Vomit on his table, spewing you out of his mouth because you're lukewarm. That's vomit. All of my tables are full of vomit. I've spewed them out of my mouth because they're neither hot nor cold. I would that you were hot or cold. I would that you were just renegades running around in the world doing your thing and be cold, not knowing nothing about God, because grace would continue until you could get straightened out. Or I would that you were hot, fervent, and burning like a flame of fire with the Spirit, coming into the house of God, wanting the word, hollering and screaming or singing or clapping your hands, ain't on fire for God. Charismatics do that everywhere. Like I said, you don't get no conception, you go right back out barren. But his pleasure is that we bring forth Christ in our heart, coming into the house of God to find that seed, that word, to settle down like a woman when she settles down to be a mother, to raise children, to have a little home. Not to be a pretty girl, television, meals, and dyke up, and daddy just buying pretty clothing for her and cars to run around in, and she can't stay at home. She wants to be a career girl, and she's just got to have a job on the side. She don't have any desire to stay at home and raise her children and settle down to being a good, common woman. You know, she don't want that. That's the way it is with the frivolous churches of today. But thank God for the old time women that was real mothers that raised families. And used to, they'd get married and it was said to them, bring forth a troop. And the more children that came, the happier they were, you know. Now if they marry, say, well, we'll have a boy and a girl and that's it. So time goes on, things goes on, and this is the condition of the world. But anyway, this is the way it is. And when I come up here, I keep talking to you over and over, hoping that you'll make a change. And today I've seen some change in the brethren in the last couple of days, 3 days. And today, this morning, I was up before daylight down there visiting with them and out moving around, and I saw great change in some of them today. Now, I know it won't last. I know that many of them down there are just reflectors. They heard it and they got real spiritual like all the rest, but as soon as they got out of my presence, they went back to their old carnal reasoning and their old way of life. And I always will be, because they're not born again. But at the same time, though there were some of them just reflectors, there were some of them that are children of God. Not very many. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, few there be that find it. So it's really a narrow path, and it's not but just a few out of all that you preach to in your lifetime. I know, you know, when I say that, we think, well, the great movement of Billy Graham and Oral Roberts, and the great movement of all the evangelists and of the Pope, whatever. But I'm telling you, though it's hard for you to get a hold of, and you'll never accept it, some of you, but many of those people are making proselytes twofold more the child of hell. If they'd have just left them alone, it'd been a lot better. Said you compass land and sea to make a proselyte twofold more the child of hell. And that's what they're doing, because they become religious and they feel like everything's all right when it's not all right. and they give them this experience, this exhilaration when they're sterile and there's no seed of Christ that comes forth, no travail, and they never bring forth Christ in their life. They're the same old person with the same old worldly desires and the love of the world in them and the things of the world, going after goals and careers and whatever in ball games and all this kind of thing. And all it is an adulterous generation, both naturally and spiritually. Your natural generation of adulterers show the spiritual adulterers. That's what it's all about, is in heaven, so on earth. And that's why you like that. You like that. You don't like for that preacher to reprove you. You don't like for that preacher to correct you. You don't like that travail. You don't like that submission. That woman don't like to come under subjection. You know, it's not the husband shall rule over thee and ye shall be under subjection to him. It's we'll have a 50-50 marriage. You know, and you do what you want to do and I do what I want to do. And besides that, I don't see any reason to get married anyway. As far as being married, we can live like dogs. We can live like animals. You know, all we got to do is just stay together. And that's your generation of today. And that's the same way it is with preachers, the same way it is with the laity. Everybody's got their motives, but it just so happens that this preacher thinks a little different, and I'm trusting my congregation does. I know the children of God does. So when I come and say these things to you, you just have to listen at them, you know, or not come. Because this is what I'm telling you. When you get to where you go out, forget about your jobs and your business. Forget about all these things, just like they did in Egypt when God took 3 million away from the flesh pots. And get your mind on God. Like I told the brethren this morning, forget about what you've got to make and what you haven't got to make and where you've got to be and where you've not got to be and who you are and what you're going to be and what your face is like and your body's like. And forget about your programs and your careers and your ministries and all these things. And get down to being a Christian. You know, and serve God and counsel out on the world. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I think you're eccentric. I just don't feel like you've got to do that. That's fine. That's your mind. That's your world. But I'm talking to the children of God. You will do this. You will come to this. You will follow this, or you'll never be a child of God. So when you find the pearl of great price, you sell out all that you got. I know somebody said, well, I'd starve to death. No. You wouldn't starve to death. God feeds the fish. They don't work for a living. The birds don't work for a living. See, God feeds them. They're there. And whereas you do try to work for a living, which is honorable, there's millions and millions and millions of people in the world that don't work for a living, and God feeds them every day. So it's not a matter of that. He said, I'll supply all of your needs. I know that you have the need of these things. Before you ever ask, you seek the kingdom, all these things will be added unto you. 3 million people taken away from the flesh pots and their jobs so they could learn to believe that God could feed them without them carrying on their projects. And he did, all the way to Canaan. So when they're so busy down there making bricks, they didn't have time to be holy or to go with God. You know, they had to keep up their pace of life. They never did get in touch with God. And over here, in this country especially, we don't hardly have enough faith among us to heal a soul. You know, and the reason, as I told the brethren today, it isn't because God is short in his promises. It isn't because his ear is dull of hearing. It isn't because his hand is short that he cannot reach us. But our iniquities have separated between us and our God, kept us back from good things. And in that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We just absolutely fail to make the word manifest in our flesh, as to honor it, to obey it, to conform to it, and therefore it don't work for us. But since faith comes by the hearing of the word, Jesus said, if you abide in my word and it abides in you, that is through faith, then you can have what you want to. You can say what you want to. And when we get to the right place, we'll find out it's just exactly the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed at all. He hasn't altered it at all. It's still the great, mighty, powerful word of God to every generation. It never changes. And it's still sufficient for salvation and deliverance, for supplying all of our needs according to his riches and glory. When we quit worrying about who we are and what we got to do, And I realize we ain't got to do but one thing, and that's honor and obey Him and seek the kingdom. And that's our responsibility. And His responsibility is to feed me and take care of me and provide for me, because He made me. He put me in the world. He put Adam and Eve there. They didn't have to work for a living. Everything was fine. He supplied all their needs till man got the idea that he knew a better way. And this is the condition of him today. With his intellectual tree of brilliance, he gets worse and worse. Death gets greater and greater, and he has to depend on Egypt. Always going to Egypt for his help, always looking to that as to a broken staff, leaning upon it, trying to figure it out, because this is the way of intelligence. And the way of intelligence is death. And the way of faith is life. So this is where we're at today, folks. And this is the problem of today. And that's why I say that if you are of the opinion that you're going to continue to live in the world, to think in the world, to keep your mind on the world and the love of the world in you and the concern of all natural things all day long, and come to God's house and get something, I'm telling you, I love you, I pray for you all the time, I try to preach to you, but you're not going to get anything. Even if anything came forth, even if there was enough in the audience to create a stir that God would feed them, you wouldn't get anything. You're just a reflector. You might hear it, but you'd never conceive of it. And without a conception, there's no child. And without a child, there's no inheritance. So then Christ, that child within you, is your hope of that glory that was displayed on the Mount of Transfiguration. And unless we can come to that, then we'll never get it. The word is one thing to hear it. It's another thing for it to become spirit and glory within you, because it is life. And this is just a printed page, and my words is just oral expression. But somewhere hid within these pages and within that oral expression is the glory of that great spiritual quickening that raises up the dead and that transfigures the body. And it's conveyed to your heart through the expression of the ministry, not being him that speaketh, but Christ that speaketh from within him. And with a heart of discrepancy, with a heart of fault finding, sitting in the seat of the scornful, standing in the way of sinners, and coming into the house of God with your own ideas and leaning to your own understanding, you're automatically cut out. Your heart's not right with God. You're in the gall of bitterness, the bonds of iniquity, and you're cut out to begin with. So you don't have anything. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And that don't mean just come in to sing and clap your hands. It means from down inside of your heart that your spirit should come with great joy, with great eagerness, great excitement, great expectation, as to say, you know, hallelujah, I'm going to hear the word. God's going to speak to me. I'm going to conceive of that great word. I'm going to get that wonderful mind of God. Hallelujah, that's a joy. Jesus rejoiced in spirit, never sang, clapped his hand, never danced, never done any of that. He just rejoiced in spirit. You enter into God's gates, not just by coming into this house here, but God is a spirit, and you enter into his godly gates with praise and thanksgiving of your spirit. And your spirit has got to be holy and godly and pure. It's got to be filled with the joy of Christian living, searching for righteousness, hungering for virtue and purity, holiness, and hungering for self-denial as to him being the preeminence of your heart and all of his thinking. See, even as I talk up here, I still feel strong spirits in the audience, unsubmitted spirits, carnality, reasoning against me and for their thing, as scrutinizing me and thinking it all over. And no matter what I say, they're just absolutely in a condition. It's just a state of mind with them, a state of spirit, that they're just plain carnal, hard, conceited, and set in their ways, no matter what I say. And it's like water on a duck's back as to the things we say. But then on the other hand, there's always the few that's among us that's not like that. And I have to tell you these things. I have to differentiate between good and bad. I have to try to prepare your heart, to get your heart open to where I can get your interest. a woman that's a whorish woman that's running around with somebody else, she don't have no interest in her husband. And a whorish man, he doesn't have any interest in his wife. He just wants her to cook and wash his clothes, and she just wants that man to work and give her a car and whatever and talk to him. And the quicker he gets off to work, the better she likes it, because there's no interest there. She satisfies herself with somebody else, and he satisfies himself with somebody else. See, and that's the way you are. You don't belong to God. He's not your husband. And you come to church. The Bible said, and they come before me as though they'd done my will. So, but they haven't done my will. Said, lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people of their sins. Though they delight to approach unto me as one that had honored me, but they've not honored me. Seeing every man has turned to his own way, the zeal of his house has eaten me up. So, when you come into the house of the Lord Jesus, see, that doesn't mean anything. You have to want the Lord. You have to honor him. You have to desire him. You have to divorce the other to be married to him. Paul said to be dead by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this you can be married unto another if that husband is dead. So then if that old body isn't dead, you can't have another body. If you don't kill that old mind, you can't have another mind. You can't be the new creature. You can't be in the new world. You can't have the new mind, because you still belong to the old world, the old creature, the old mind. And a woman is bound to the laws of a husband so long as he liveth. And this is where you're at. You just never have had that born-again experience. You never have made the crossing. You never have died to yourself. You still are filled with fleshly ambitions. And no matter how hard you try, I've seen some of you try, even to tears. I've seen you talk to me in tears with all sincerity, still not be in touch with God. See, you've got to be born again. Like someone came to me yesterday, I believe it was, and they said, tell me something, Brother Pike. Said, what do I have to do? Said, I've been Catholic. My daddy was Catholic. And said, do I have to change denominations, or what do I have to do? I said, no, it doesn't have anything to do with the denominations. I said, from the fall, you are away from God. We say on the animal side of life, you're no more in touch with God, you're dead. I said, and that's it. And it don't matter what you belong to, what you confess, how much you pray, whatever. I said, it has nothing to do with that. I said, if you don't have his spirit, you're not of his. To get into that world, you have to get his spirit in your spirit, which is called a new birth. And then you've changed worlds and you've got back into the presence of God and you're all right. Then you just grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. You got to be born again to even see the kingdom, because you see it with the eyes of your understanding. It don't come by observation of these natural eyes. So it's very obvious that no matter what you do, whether you cry or don't cry, whether you think or don't think, it's whether or not you have his spirit in your spirit. And if you have his spirit in your spirit, you will not be conceited. You will not be carnal-minded. You will not have the love of the world in you. You'll not have the desire to go out and be ambitious in the world, have a career in the world, and you won't have your mind on some natural thing from morning till night. You'll find yourself meditating in his laws day and night, and your thoughts won't be your thoughts. Every thought will soon be cast down to where it's not any of your thoughts. Every thought will be in subjection to him. And finally, it'll be not you living, but it'll be Christ living within you. And the life that you have will be made manifest in your mortal genes as the life of Christ Jesus. Not your spirit manifested in your body, but your body yielded to his spirit, and his spirit will be manifested in your mortal gene. That's the word made flesh. And when it starts coming to that place, then you ask what you will, say what you will, do what you will, because that puts you in a complete control. That gives you a supremacy of control. In the book of Revelation, I have tried to get into the book of Revelation for I don't know how long now. For a while there, a few months back, we were able to get into the book of Revelation a little bit. And then all of a sudden, it's almost like a closed book as far as being able to to make contact with your spirit to where God can minister to you. As I say, I find a warm welcome. I find a reverence. You're good people. You're fine people. I'm not critical of you. I can't find any fault with you. You just, you've become complacent in a great way. And like I was telling some of the brethren, I said, you're getting farther and farther from spiritual things. And even though some of you here think you're ministers, I've even watched you. And God knows this is from my heart. I have some here that are positive that they're really moving into God. And as far as I can tell, it appears that they are as carnal or more carnal than I've ever seen them in my life, and filled with ambition to want to do something. And I can't even hardly contact their spirit. Our spirits don't even relate together anymore. Something's got to be wrong, either with me or with them. Something's got to be wrong. See, if your spirit don't relate to the minister, there's something wrong with you or something wrong with the minister. Now, someone would say, well, it's wrong with the minister. Then, the only thing I don't understand about that is, if that is true, then why do you come to hear me? See, if it's something wrong with me and you are right, then how is it you're so confused and mixed up that you come here? Don't you know your very presence encourages others to come? Don't you know you should be out telling others that they shouldn't come here? Don't you know you should have me on the carpet, have a talk with me? Don't you know there should be something done because you're responsible for the blood of others? Or if you come here, then why is it that you do that? And if I'm right, then what's wrong with you? There's something wrong with you. Some say, well, why do you come here and me here? I come here to minister to my flock, and you just come in among the flock. This is my place. I'm supposed to do that. So anyway you look at it, there's a lot to be considered. And it's for sure that this thing begins with your thoughts. Like I told the brethren, it begins with your thoughts. If your thoughts are not right, you're not right. Coming to church, that don't mean you're right. Doing things don't mean you're right. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And it begins with your thoughts. And if your thoughts is not in harmony with the word and hungering for the word, and they're not going to be in harmony with the minister, because the minister, if he's a true minister, that's what he is. He that God sendeth will speak God's word. So you're not going to find any fellowship with him. You're not going to be in harmony with him. And that means that you're on the outside. No matter what you learn or what you hear, you're just a reflector. You need to come to this, because some of you, I'm telling you, you know, you can go on and do whatever you want to do. I can't say I don't care. I do care. But you can go on doing those things. But as far as I can tell, doing those things, you're not born again. So it means you're not in the kingdom. And it means you're just ambitious. And like the Jews and others. And your zeal has eaten God up. You don't have any place in your life. And as far as I know, under those conditions, you're not going to go into the kingdom. Because the kingdom is by translation of faith. You don't get into the kingdom except by translation of faith. And that's by the word. Faith by the word. And when you do that, it's like I was again telling somebody. They asked me some questions today. Said, what can I do? I'm doing all I know to do. Said, and I still got problems. I said, well, one thing you have to remember. I said, coming together in a group, whether it's an organized group of whatever you want to call it, doesn't mean a thing. When it comes to salvation, it don't mean a thing. I said, when you and everyone as an individual gets in touch with the word and begin to think on the word and to love the word and to walk in the word and let it be your conversation day and night as to meditate in it, then you'll become straight and clean in your heart and right and in harmony with God as one single individual. And when every individual does that, they will fit together beautifully. Won't be no forced issues. They won't have to do nothing to try to organize. They will automatically be one unit, like on the day of Pentecost, one mind and one accord, and there won't be no problem. And I said, when you come to church or when you're with the brotherhood or whatever, I said, everything will be all right. And another thing I repeat, as I did the other night to you, you cannot have eternal life unless you go according to faith in the Word. Your believing won't do you any good. You've got to fellowship the brothers. You've got to fellowship the sisters. If you do not fellowship the brothers and you do not fellowship the sisters, you do not have any desire to be with them and be involved in what they're doing, and you just come to church and that's all it is to it, you can take my word, you don't have eternal life. If your ambition is always to be on your job and to make money and have security and feed your family and to have things in the world and this kind of thing, and though you come to church regular, you still don't have eternal life. And though you listen real good to the preacher, you still don't have eternal life. The proof that you pass from death unto life is that you love one another and you love the brethren. And you're going to want to be with one another, and it's the proof that you have God in your heart when you are about the Father's business, which is with the brothers and sisters. This is the proof of the nature of Jesus Christ. And if you don't have his nature or spirit, you're none of his. So you have to let this mind be in you that was in him, if you're his members and his body. And he was always about the Father's business. And if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you will have fellowship one with another. And then the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. So if you're not fellowshipping one another and you're not coming together with one another and you have no interest and desire to be with one another, you are not walking in the light. You're walking in your intellectual darkness. To walk in the light is to walk in his mind. His mind is the word of the tree of life. And when you walk in his mind, you'll find your brother. See, I made a statement the other day. You say you've got problems, and you say the brethren don't treat you right, and you say I can't be around them because I don't feel good and whatever. It's because of you. It's not because of the brethren. It's because of you. And I know for sure that I have people here, and will continue to have them until Jesus comes. I have people here that absolutely do not fellowship the brethren. They do not come around to sit with the brethren. They will come in and stay 5 or 10 minutes and gone, and most of the time interrupt continually while they're there, while they're doing that. I have a number of people like that. A number of them. They even come to my mind as I'm talking. See, and they don't have no interest in being with the brethren, nor blending with the brethren, nor flowing together with the brethren, or finding out the burden of the brethren, nor sharing it. Their mind is on their good name and making a living and having comforts and convenience, and they're just nervous and they just can't sit still, and they're just all tore up because they don't have any interest in spiritual things. They don't have any interest in spiritual things. So this is what I'm saying, brethren, and coming to church and clapping your hands singing don't mean you're spiritual. And just going to church don't mean you're spiritual. And just living on the campground don't mean you're spiritual. And just being around the brotherhood in and out, whatever, don't mean that you're spiritual. That don't mean nothing. See, anybody will do that, and especially if you give them a place of leadership. See, they'll do that. They like that, but that don't mean nothing. But when you get hungry for the word and you get hungry to be with the brethren and to share the brethren's burden and to share the burdens of the brother to the extent that you want to be incorporated in what they're doing and you want to incorporate God in your lifestyle as to the word, then you are walking in the light. You are walking in the light. You people, I have people that's been with me over 20 years here, and you have never, since I've known you, though you come to church pretty regular, you have never been partakers in what we're doing as far as really coming around the brotherhood and staying long enough to try to learn anything or understand anything. Most of the time, even if you come to men's meeting or anything else, you're there a little while and you're gone. Nobody knows you're gone. Or you don't come half the time or coming to church or whatever. And I know as of late, I haven't been to the men's meeting in 2 or 3 services. Sometimes I stay away because I go and I talk a lot, or they want me to talk, and then it seems to me to interfere with what they got on their mind. And like my wife said something to me the other night, and I guess this is the night I'm supposed to talk to you. But my wife said, are you going to men's meetings? Said, time to go to men's meeting. And I was planning to go. I thought about going. And then I thought, no. She said, well, why not? I said, well, first of all, this is why, Betty. I said, they're already pre-programmed. They're already pre-programmed to do what they want to do. They spend hours and days in pre-programming. They're already pre-programmed. They're already pre-programmed in what they want to do, what they're planning to do. They're pre-programmed in what they're going to do with their substance. They're pre-programmed in every way. And there's no need of me going down there and interrupting their minds and breaking into the continuity of their thoughts and interrupting something and creating a confusion in their minds. I said, and if I go, I'm going to say things that's going to interrupt and going to reroute. I said, I just don't want to do it. And at church, folks, it's getting to be the same way. See, you're already pre-programmed. Before I come, all day long you've been doing your thing. All day long you've been planning your thing. All day long you've been in the natural way of life. You've got all of your paths laid out, all of your programs laid out. Your mind is full of what you want to do and what you're planning to do and what your future is and your desire. That when you come to church, you're so pre-programmed that I can't even squeeze in. And the zeal of your house is eating me up. I can't even squeeze in with the mind of Christ. Your mind is so tight. So you're already pre-programmed. And when I come here to talk like I'm talking tonight, all it does is interrupt your program. It just interrupts your mind and your thoughts and what you want to do and the way you feel about the house of God and the way it should be run. You know, you're not coming with open hearts and desire as to say, he's our leader, he's our pastor, and he's got a program from God, and we're going to blend in with it, and we're going to do this, and we're going to come with open heart, and we're going to listen to the mind of Christ, and we're going to let him control our bodies, and he's going to be our program. And we're going to do whatever that mind tells us to do, or we're going to get more and more of that mind so that it will tell us what to do every day. You know, you're not fooling me, and you're not fooling God. Though you, the resentment, all these things that come from you to me, and your reasoning, your strong reasoning, you know, it doesn't affect me only to the extent it aggravates me, but it doesn't affect me as to cause me to change or anything. You are pre-programmed. And when you get to this kind of life, the whole world is coming to it. When you get to this kind of life, scientists say then that your mind is made up and you can't change it. And that means the end of the world. That means that God is finished and over with you. And he's ready to take his few and go. And he's sealing his end so that he can go with them. So then you have taken on a conception and been sealed in with that of corruption and that of harlotry. And you don't have any room anymore. You don't have any place anymore. You don't have any virtue anymore. You don't have any desire anymore. You've given yourself to what you want, and you're bringing forth the image of corruption. And so I come here to try to minister to you, and it's getting that way with ministers all over the world. The minds are boggled down. It reminds me of a brother that called me the other night from among the seagulls. He called me and he said, Brother Pike, I want to talk to you, which we talked. And he said, you know, said the ministers I talk to, wherever I go, he was pointing out that the minister, their minds all boggled down. Said everything seems to be on hold. And said they don't seem to know what to do anymore. And, of course, he was asking for some of our songs, if he could use some of our songs to sing. And he said, it just appears to me that their minds are just completely boggled. He said, and I can't seem to get anything except from this ministry. Said, I'm calling and talking to you, he said, because this is the only place I seem to really get anything. Now, so then, that means that something is happening. See, ministers are in despair. What is it? The conception has already come. Everything's already sealed in. Whatever you're going to be, that's what you're going to be. The image you're going to bring forth, you're ready to bring it forth. See, and in Christ, His bride is already sealed in tow. And the divine conception has already come. Paul said, till Christ be formed within you after this divine conception, said I travail. So this is where we're at. Little Bethlehem, I have a talk with you like this because I'm responsible to you and you're responsible to me. And Paul said, I seek to present you to God as a virgin, a chaste virgin, a spouse to one, even Christ, without spot, wrinkle, or without blemish. And I seek to present you to God blameless, body, soul, and spirit. But folks, are ye virtuous? At the midnight cry, when the midnight cry came, the virgins were there. Both kind, they were there. Foolish virgins who had thrown their virtue away. Other virgins, they were there, that had kept their virtue. At the darkness of that midnight cry, which means, what it means is when the carnal mind gets the upper hand to the extent that the educational system of carnality and religious conceit of human reasoning gets full control, that's darkness, that's midnight, darker and darker and darker. And the darkest part of the night is just before the dawn. See, and at that midnight cry, when that had taken over to the extent that it had pressed the church, the light gone out in the church because it pressed that light clear out, they'd come against it, called it foolishness, everything else, and emphasized the diplomacies of life through the old school of prostitution. See, it was called the midnight cry. And the midnight cry is upon the people. See, and at the midnight, they all were asleep. All of them were asleep. They'd done their thing. So they all was asleep. They had done their thing. And then it was at midnight that the cry come. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Awake, go ye out to meet him. They arose, they trimmed their lamps. Some didn't have any oil. See, if you have not his spirit, you're none of his. You may shout. You may clap your hands. You may go through all of the things of the exhilaration of human relation, but no conception. See, and when the time came, they didn't have any oil in their lamps. They didn't have any spirit. They didn't have any quickening. It was the rain on the tire, and they all just were in a charismatic way of life, as we say. So at the midnight cry, not receiving the infilling of the spirit, they had had no travail. No conception, no travail, no conformity. They're not conformed to his way. They were not going after his will. They were not going after his desire. They were not acting like Christ. They were not displaying the nature of Christ. This heavenly treasure was not in them, or it would have been made manifest in their mortal genes. They were going after their ambition, even the ministers, just wanting a place and wanting an income, wanting some kind of church or wanting some kind of following of the preeminent, or just to get a lot of things off of their chest because it studied so much, you know, and all these kind of things. See, and they didn't have the infilling of the Spirit. So then they were left. And that's what happened. See, the translation is a spiritual thing. And the closing of the door is when the bowels of compassion are gone and when everybody has heard the gospel in all the world. There's no more room for preaching the gospel. There is no more room because everybody has heard. And once they hear, if they don't conceive of the word of God, then they're shut out because they're filled with corruption. And this is the thing that God charged Israel with. And God said to Israel, said, you've opened yourself to every evil, corruptible thing. And played the harlot into every green tree. And said, now I've given you a writing of divorcement. I put you away. Go to your lovers and see if they give to you the good things. I gave you all the good things of life and you didn't honor me. Now go to your lovers and see if they'll give you all the good things. I'm telling you, serving Satan is a nightmare. So folks, this is where we're at. See, that everything is closing out. Minds are boggled down. I come here like tonight, every night. I come here wanting to get into the deep mysteries because it's my life, it's my heart. I find out that it's more needful just to exhort you, just to talk to you, to come down to a level that you can understand and to say things just to remind you rather than growing in these great mysteries to this great advantage of God, just to remind you just to get right with God, just to get out of the world, just to live right, just to be saved by the skin of your teeth, as we say, and scarcely make it into the kingdom of God. And to tell you that your works are being burned because your works are works of the flesh and desires of the flesh and ambition of the flesh, even if it's a religious ambition, is still being burned. God can't hear it because it's not the moving of the Spirit. Every plant that the Heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. So this is where we're at. And tonight, as I come here to exhort you, to talk with you, exhorting you the more as I see the day approaching, I tell you, as I told the brethren this morning, it's time that you repent and forsake your sins and get away from the things of the world. It's time that you get your mind off of the natural things. I'm going to remind you again, it ain't smoking and cursing and drinking and going. You stand afar off and you point your finger at the crackpots and at the dope addicts and all of these kind of things. And you say how horrible, how terrible we are people who serve God. And you find out in the end that you are religious people that don't serve God, that knew to and did not do it, and said that you would go and do the will of God but didn't do it, and that the crackpots and the drunkards and the harlots suddenly come awake to the fact that they're like dogs and they throw it down and they come running and asking God for mercy and they're saved. Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees on one occasion this little parable. A man had two sons. He required of them a certain thing. One said, I go, Father. But the Bible said he went not. Another said, I will not go, Father. I'll do my own thing, that is. Said, but afterwards he repented and he went. Which of the twain did the will of God? So this is where you're at. See, and you're looking at these people and you just don't understand, that's all. You don't realize what you're doing. You're getting farther away from God. And my suggestion to you is that ye should get born again. You should get a real, genuine, born-again experience. Now, someone would say, well, Brother Pike, are you talking about all of us? Jesus said, what I say to one, I say to the preacher. I say to all of you. But it does not mean that all of you are not born again. There are some that are born again. But it does mean that straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. And it does mean that these words are not just words. You need to hear them and let them be weighty upon your mind, because we say this all the time. And somebody says, so what? Straight is the gate, narrow is the way. I know all them things. I'm a Christian. No, you need to let that be weighty on your mind and think of what he said. That it is a straight way, it is a narrow way, few there be that find it. And he said, you strive to enter in, for many is going to religiously try to get in and not be able. So then you need to think on these things. You know, just lounging around isn't going to do it. Just floundering around isn't going to do it. The Bible said, make straight paths for yourself. Be holy in body and in spirit. Make an effort. Deny yourself. Bring things under subjection. Get rid of your thoughts. You are an enemy to God in your thinking, your carnal mind. God presents himself in the form of a thought or spirit or a quickening, and your thoughts are too strong and your thoughts are too carnal and you're too naturally minded. You're too fleshly. See, and you've got a resistance in you that's called the hardness of heart. And you are not perceptive, neither are you the kind of person that absorbs. You have a repellence about your repelling nature. You have a hard nature. You're setting your own conceit, and you don't absorb nothing. No matter what the preacher says, you just reason it out, and you sit there with that same old staunch mind and thought that you have, and there's no penetrating whatsoever. That's called a hardness of heart, and God hath no part in your life. So this is what I mean, folks, in trying to talk to you a little bit tonight. You can't live in the world. You can't have the love of the world. You can't have all of your plans in the flesh. You can't have all of your ambitions in the flesh and then come to the house of God and have any hunger for God. It won't be there. Though you try ever so hard, it won't be there. And this is where you're at, and you'll just come and continue to come and just sing and clap your hands and feel the blessings of the Lord to the extent of the rain that's upon the tear and become very emotional, doing nothing, conceiving of nothing, being satisfied with the exuberance and exhilaration of the relation as it would be those that are sterile or those that cannot receive or those that are barren. And you'll go back out in your same old worldly mind, that satisfaction, and to be right back out there until you need another good drenching. And come right back in and never change your nature, never have a conception to travail in Christ or to surrender your life or to conform to the way of the Lord or to come out of the world. The Bible said, come out of the world, be a separate people, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. All right, let's stand together. Won't keep you long tonight. Just exhorting you this little bit so that you might stop and think. It isn't like that I'm going to talk to you and you're going to change. See, it isn't like that. You're not going to change. I know that. The Lord said, go warn them. So they're not going to listen at you. But if you don't warn them, I'm going to require their blood at your hand. Said you go warn them anyway. See, so it's not like you're going to change. I've been here over 20 years. And even some of my leaders have heard me over and over and over say these very things. They haven't changed. They still don't come around the brethren. They still don't fellowship. They still don't get into it. 20 years, they hear it over and over. Why? It's just not there. It's not there. If the love of God is not there, you're not going to do it. If the desire and hunger for righteousness is not there, you're not going to do it. If there's an ambition for the world and the desire for the world and the satisfaction for the world and you feel better and your nerves are more calm in the world, that's where you're going. If you want to hunt, you're going to be a hunter. If you want to fish, you're going to be a fisherman. If you want to make money, you're going to make money. If you want a business, you're going to make an effort to have a business. If you just want to ride, talk, be freelance, as the world says, and just go to and fro and just do your thing, just be free so that nobody doesn't have any control over you, or you don't have to get up at a certain time, go to bed at a certain time, do any certain thing, just have your mind free, that's what you're going to be. And it isn't like I'm going to change it, because this is for the elect, and the elect, which is predestinated unto this, they'll come to it. The Bible said those that were predestinated unto it, when Paul preached, they believed, and the rest did not. So he said, your blood be upon your own head, I've delivered my soul. And this is where we're at, folks. You can apply this to yourself individually the way you want to. I'm not ambitious for any certain thing except the truth. I just want to see my soul saved, and I want to be truthful with God. So I'm going to continue to search and do whatever I can. And you're going to continue your nature as to whatever you are, whatever you've been, that's what you'll continue to be. And you're going to continue that, and I'm not going to try to interrupt it. I'm just coming here just to exhort you a little bit and to let you know that the time is close at hand, that you need to do something. But it is for truth that whatever you are, that's what you're going to be. And when the Lord comes back, breaks the clouds of heaven, you're not going to quickly run and change and make some kind of alteration or whatever. You're going to be caught that way. You're going to be found that way. It's going to be your nature. It's going to be your nature to do that kind of thing. And your nature is going to make you do the same old things and be in the same old rut over and over. Like I was telling my wife today, I said, Betty, I said, life is a rut. I said, people have gotten themselves into a terrible rut. And you try to tell them something, I said, you can't. They're professional. They know. They understand. They've had experience. Try to explain to them. It just grinds at them. It just rubs them wrong because that's their nature. A cat's nature is a cat's nature. And to try to twist it, run it, do it any other way but the cat's way, it upsets the cat. See, and that's the way you are. You've developed a nature. You've got a nature. And we are partakers of the divine nature of Jesus Christ. So we're not going to change. Our nature is His Word, His life, His desire, His will, His ambition. We hunger, we thirst after being like our Heavenly Father and being like the Son of God. And our interest is in the wonderful things of Christ as to world evangelism, helping the widows and the orphans, and keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. And our delight is in His will and His way and the fellowship with our brethren and the fellow man and exhortation and learning and growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ toward the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus. Going to church and doing all these things is no more than the world does. It's just a formality. That doesn't mean you've got anything. But when you get a hunger for the Word, the world don't have that. Let's sing a little chorus together. There will be a glad reunion in heaven, I know. Gathered on the blessed hilltops with hearts all aglow. While we're singing this chorus, the altars are open. And you that are the children of God, you that love the Lord, you that have the nature of Christ or that seeking the nature of Christ, that believe in the things that I'm saying as your pastor, and you know that I'm telling you the truth, I want you to search your hearts and I want you to think it over tonight, because you're going to be caught off guard. Things have happened that I need to tell you about. I need desperately to tell you about. Things have taken place. And you're so much farther along than you could ever dream. Things have taken place as to the kingdom of God in such a way as you've never dreamed of. But our iniquities have kept us back from good things and separated us from the love of God to where we've not come into these wonderful truths. And we've not grown in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's sing this together. Glad day, glorious day. Glad day, a wonderful day. Gathered on the blessed hilltop, with hearts all aglow, that will be a glad reunion day. Sing it again. Glad day, wonderful day. Glad day, a glorious day. Gathered on the blessed hilltops with hearts all aglow, that will be a glad reunion. Can you sing it again? Glad day, a wonderful day. Glad day, glorious day. Gathered on the blessed hilltops with hearts all aglow, that will be a glad reunion day. God has chosen us in Christ. Always remember that God has chosen us in Christ, which means if you're not walking in the Word, He was the Word. He is the Word. The same to every generation. And if you're not walking in the Word, then that means you're not in Christ. you're not in Christ. Though you be ever so religious, He chose you in Christ. If you're not like the Word, you're not in the Word. That means that you're not holy, you're not chosen, you're not elect, you're not predestinated, you're not justified, you're not glorified, because you're not in the Word. He hath chosen us in the Beloved and in the Word. And He hath made us to be in the Word what He wants us to be. And ye are perfect in Him. And ye are complete in Him. And when we walk in the Word, then we have faith. And when we have faith, the faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. And if there's no Word, there is no faith. And if there's no faith, there is no justification. For we're justified by faith in the Word. And if there's no justification, there is no sanctification. There is no perfection. There is no eternal life. So tonight, search your hearts and see if you are in Him. For He hath chosen us in Him. And if you're in Him tonight and you're walking in the Word abide in you and you abide in the Word, you can ask what you will, you can say what you will. He'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll make you rich and add no sorrow. I'll be singing another little chorus or two. I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. So I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout. For I'm longing for the Savior to come back. Long Jesus Christ, my friend, He will come, take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. While we've got our hands lifted up, our eyes closed, coming to know the close of another service, search our hearts tonight. Let's just search them and see if everything's right. See if we're in the faith tonight. I tell you again, as your shepherd, in the latter times, many shall depart from the faith. Why? Because they'll depart from the Word. And they're not listening to the Word. And they'll turn to heresy and idea and feelings and exhilaration, experiences and all kinds of things. So they'll turn away from the faith. See, because there's no faith without the Word. And this is why that at Bethlehem I press the issue, always the Word. Because you are saved by faith. Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. And the heavens had declared the handiwork as to God's word. See, and the whole earth is full of the knowledge of God. If you find the revelation of everything in the earth, you'll find it's the knowledge of God. All heavenly things are understood by earthly expressions. So I press the issue of the Word. Search your heart. See if ye be in the faith. See if your conviction is in the Word. If your thoughts is in the Word. Your activities in the Word. Your desires, your hunger, your thirst is according to the Word. And all of your ambitions is after the manner of the Word. See, search it. Read your Bibles. Listen to the Word of God. Listen at it in church. Pray. Lord, pray to the Lord. See, pray. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. He said, if you ask in the time of the latter rain, I'll make bright clouds. I'll bring you the latter and the former rain. And pray and say, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Lord, help me to think on you. Help me to love you. Help me to have a hunger. Help me to have a desire for the Word. Help me to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Word of God. Help me to get away from the world. Help me to forget about just riding and talking and eating and going out with the wrong people and talking to the wrong people and just the old daily gossip of who I run with all the time, or having somebody over at my house to take up my time all day long just going on and talk. All day long just talk. Vanity, sin, there liketh not sin in the multitude of words. See, and just stay away from somebody. Always got to laugh and go on and have some kind of party and some kind of a noise all the time. And a group of people sitting around exchanging conversations. And always mind on something, houses and land and everything that you can think of. Relatives and friends and old days and new days and what you was and what you're going to be and what you think about yourself and all of your plans and programs. Get all of that off your mind and start thinking on the Lord day and night. Start thinking on His Word day and night. Learn to love Him. Learn to love His way of life. Start a new way of life. Get converted in your mind so that you can get that faith that cometh by the hearing of the Word. See, and turn to God with all of your hearts. He said, when you turn to me with all of your hearts and you call on me with all of your heart, I'll hear from heaven and heal your lands. See, America isn't going to get any better. The government's not going to get any better. The world's not going to get any better as a whole. See, it's just not going to do it until you call on God. But if those that are called by my name will humble their hearts, and if they'll call, I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their lands. You're not going to vote in the right person and vote out the right person. And you're not going to find anybody that's going to be able to handle the situation. The Bible said in that day, he alone shall be exalted. And when you give him his place on the throne, he'll make everything right. Like the person that called the other day was asking for the song on Chief Cornerstone. See, let's put him in his place. Let's get the ambition of our life out of the way. Let's do everything for him and for his cause. You know, we do it under a guise of religion, saying, well, I'm doing this for Jesus. And you know you're not. You know that you're in full preeminence. All your ambitions is for you and your pleasure and your program. And God ain't nowhere in the arrangement. You're just saying, you know, you're just calling his name and you're using him. You're just using him to get your program over. And that's no good. You're using him to get followers. And that's no good. And you're convincing the people of all these things just to give forth your exhilaration and your exuberance just to hold a position and be before the people and have them to admire you. That ain't no good. Someday God will burn your fields for that. But let's lift him up and let's love him and let him live in our life. See, a child's known by their doings. If you love him, he'll manifest himself in your life. If not, then he's outside the door. He's outside the door. Solomon said, out in the darkness of your intellectual night, the dew drops in his locks. He's begging to come in, knock and saying, I'll come in and sup with you if you'll open that heart's door, which is faith. So tonight, let's think that over, because the end of the world is here. And if you believe the things that I'm telling you, if you believe the exhortation, then like dear children, humble your heart, come to it, and God will make great people out of you. Otherwise, you're not going to be anything. The flesh profiteth nothing. It's all going to pass away, and the world's going to pass away. And he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. So as we sing another little chorus together. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why, oh, why not tonight? Will thou be saved? then why not tonight? Tomorrow's sun may never rise. Now, while we're singing this, just stop and think. Someone would say, well, why do you sing a song like that? Because I'm perceiving that a lot of people at Bethlehem needs to be saved. They need to get right with God. So why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Will thou be saved? Then why not tonight? I will pray. I will praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give God glory, you know. Let us give God glory. Let us get out of the formalities of coming to church and going through the ritualistic and going through all of these things. And let's start growing in the knowledge of God so that we can grow in the grace of God. So we will praise Him. We will praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain, and I'll give Him glory, all ye people, for wash the wheel once again. I just think now, just because you come to Bethlehem, that doesn't mean that you're right with God. That doesn't mean that you have salvation. That doesn't mean that you'll go to heaven. But coming to Bethlehem is a good start. It's a good way to find the truth. It's a good way to get right with God. It's a good place to repent of your sins. It's a good place to begin to search and find salvation and peace of mind, to where you can go to heaven, to where you can be a Christian, and to where you can be partakers of something in world evangelism and winning souls and feeding the orphans and the hungry, as to the poor, doing something for widows and those that are needy in the world. It's a good place to be. Little Bethlehem is a good place to be. And there's good brothers and there's good sisters here. People that can pray the prayer of faith, and people that can, that love God. People that are looking for God. People that are searching for God. See, but at the same time, just as in the days of Jesus, there were those among the disciples and among the brethren that wasn't right with God, so it is at Bethlehem. There was Judas. He was a devil. He wasn't right with God. He obtained part of that ministry through the grace of God, but he fell by transgression. There were 70 others that went out with Jesus, and they cast out devils, and they had great divine healing ministers, as we say, as it would be in this day, but they wasn't right with God. And when it come to the Word and honoring the Word and obeying the Word, they didn't follow Christ. They were like a lot of ministers of today. they had their minds on the wrong thing. Like Judas, he had his mind on the money bag. He wasn't interested in souls, though he feigned himself as to be one who believed and wanted to help the poor, but he didn't care for the poor. So then with all these projects going today of pulling millions of dollars for supposedly the poor, they don't really care for the poor. They're not desiring to help the poor. All they want to do is help themselves. And you're Christians, you're beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. You're so precious to me. But the flesh I abhor, God abhors, because it's your carnal reasoning, it's your own conceit, it's your own lust, it's your own evil way. But as a being, as a precious, darling person, I love you so dearly, and so does God. Now, many of you are my children in Christ. You are my children and will be throughout eternity. And I'm here to do all I can to help you and lead you, while I know among us is false brothers and sisters. And I'm trying my best to weed the garden. And I'm trying to get to you. And when I go to talk to you at night, then I feel the resentment of the old terror. Though they're in the rain and they clap their hands and they get in on the praises and they get in on the good feelings and they get in on the benefits, yet they're still tares. Their nature is still tare. They're not producing anything as to a harvest unto God. They're not producing anything except the nature of an old tare. Their nature comes forth in the harvest to be burned. But you're producing the good things of God, and you're feeding the world. And you're the wheat of God to be gathered into His garners. You're those with the fruits of the Spirit, with the love of God and the nature of the Son of God. And you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And you're desiring the ways of the Lord. And you want to excel in the things of God. And you want to go on with Christ. And you want to be something. You're not just coming to church. You want to do something. You want to be in some kind of position to work, to help the brothers and to help the sisters. See, and I know that, and God knows that, and He has His eyes on you, and He'll reward every man according to his labors. To whatever his labor will be, that's the way He will reward him. Every woman according to her labor, and He will reward you according to your desire and according to your doings, for the child is known by his doings. So press in a little closer. We're going to sing this song, and we sing a lot of times, come a little closer to the Lord. And while we're singing this song, I want you to consider it. I want you to just check yourself and see if you need to come a little closer to the Lord. Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. I remember, brother, when I was like you, traveling down the road of sin. Trouble in my soul, I was carrying a heavy load, looking for the place it would end. And old time preacher came calling one day, from the Bible he read a few words. Now I can say that I'm happy on my way. I came a little closer to the Lord. I came a little closer, just a little closer, and I came a little closer to the Lord. My heavy load did lighten, and my days did brighten when I came a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten. Come a little, one more time.
So come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. So then let's come a little closer, a little closer to the Lord, while we sing this little chorus. Just lift our hands up and close our eyes tonight. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, I will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. Will you come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. I'm going to ask Keith to come and dismiss us if he will. While Keith is coming, let's just worship the Lord. Bringing in the sheaves, can you come rejoicing? Sing that with me again now. We're bringing in God's sheaves, we are bringing in God's sheaves. I will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. And you come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep, are you bringing in the sheep?